Today on Real Radio.
Think about you. You're raising your children, you're very committed to church, and you're very much serving in all kinds of aspects, and you don't have a moment to spare, yet you love it. The Holy Spirit's going to say to you, yes! Blessed are you now who die in the Lord from this moment on. You get to rest. And there is a rest to the people of God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. Our current mini-series is called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, taken from one of John's heavenly visions in chapter 14. The passage includes a mention about the death of God's people, and that death is actually put in a positive light. It seems to go against how we often look at death and dying, yet Scripture makes clear why. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I'll spare you the details. I just remember my farm boy dad saying, son, and this was our pup, and he loved this pup. He's not going to recover from this. It's a very terrible sickness. And my dad took care of it right there. And I remember him saying, he's going to be better now. You don't understand that as a kid. But what do you say as a parent? It doesn't have to be that graphic as a young child growing up with a farm boy kind of dad. What if you are someone, you're a parent or you're a grandparent, and you turn to that little kid and you say, honey, sweetheart, they're better off now. It's better for them now. Do you know what I'm trying to communicate? It's that they're better. Death is better. It's hard for us to believe. Here in the Bible, the announcement is made during the tribulation period. And this is what it means. Well off are those now who die. Why? The question would be, how come? Why? Because the things that are coming on the earth during this period of time are so horrific that death for the believer is wonderful. You see, you may have a farm boy approach to it and say, wow, it's kind of brutal. Not to God. Not to those of us who have faith in Christ. There will be, not you, if you're a Christian, you won't be living at this time. But for those who will be believers at this time, the announcement's going to be made, it's better off for you to die and go into the arms of the Lord than to continue living in this world, says the Bible. You say, well, that's pretty fatalistic. Only to you who don't believe in the Bible. So you don't see it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't see that. Your God is limited to this world. You don't see just a breath away is the Lord Almighty with his arms stretched out waiting to receive. The Bible says precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Now, you and I can't remember, but when we were in our mom, I would think it's 98.6 degrees in there. That's one thing we know for sure. Pretty cramped, I would think. Naked, although we didn't know we were naked. I would imagine there's a lot of stuff you could hear. You know, that aqueous solution around you transmits a lot of sound. So you probably have to think about this. 1, 2, 3, tush! Tush! You know, and the little baby's like, oh man, well, I'm going somewhere. And, you know, and head first, head first! We don't know what was going on in there. Could you imagine those stopping the process? Excuse me, what do you think's happening? I don't know, but everything's pushing from behind and I feel like I gotta get out of here, but I don't know where I'm going. Think about it. I like it here. I've been here 9 months. It's fine with me. It's warm. It's perfect. It's great. That baby's coming out, going somewhere I've never been before. What kind of contortions and pressures? They can't be good. Especially, do they still do this? Do they still put those, they don't do that anymore, do they? The forceps or They do? Can you imagine being the baby in there?
Whoa.
What is this? Gee whiz, you know? Think about it. Then the baby comes out. It's cool. It's not 98.6 degrees in that room. And if I had anything to say, there'd be about 68 degrees in that room. Baby comes out, and then, how's that for a greeting? Wham! Whoa! Naked, hanging there. Then they put the suction thing. What's that baby thinking? That baby has no idea that it's just been brought into what could be a wonderful life. Think about it. As Christians, how could death? Oh, I don't even want to hear about it. For the Christian, it's just a doorway, my friend. It's just a hallway. We're just passing through that moment into the eternal presence of God. That's a wonderful thing. Another thing is this. Listen. Blessed, happy, better off are those who die in the Lord from now on. Look at this. This is amazing. Hey, those of you who are from the Jehovah Witnesses, the Watchtower, and I know you come and sit with us, you're going to have to deal with this verse right here. And I really hope it keeps you up all night long. Because you don't believe, listen, you don't believe that the Holy Spirit is God or a person? Check it out. Yes, says who? The Spirit. Is it capital S in your Bible? That's the Holy Spirit. Yes, says the Spirit. He's speaking. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Who said that? Not Jesus. Who said that? Not the Father. Who says it? The Holy Spirit says it. It's impossible to have an it or a force to say anything. And in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira sinned against God, Peter said, you did not only sin against God, you sinned against the Holy Spirit when you lied. You can't sin against a force or a power. Acts chapter 13, in the opening verses, as they fasted and prayed, the Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke unto them and said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them to do. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's God Almighty. And he says right here, almost like a cheerleader, and I mean that with all reverence, he can't contain himself. He says, yes, they get to rest. They've labored, they've worked, and now they get to cease from their labors. That brings me wonderful news. That brings you good news as a Christian. Is it tough? Listen, parents, the bulk of the work that's done in this church are done by parents who have jobs, their children. They don't have a moment to spare. But guess what? More parents with children who have no time serve the most in this church body. People who have the most time hardly serve at all. Go figure that one out. I don't get it. Think about you. You're raising your children, you're very committed to church, and you're very much serving in all kinds of aspects, and you don't have a moment to spare, yet you love it. The Holy Spirit's going to say to you, yes! Blessed are you now who die in the Lord from this moment on. You get to rest. And there is a rest to the people of God. Now listen, those of you who are single, in my opinion, you should be pouring your life into the ministry of God. And I believe that's scriptural because Paul the Apostle talked about that in the book of Corinthians. He says, a man who's single can dedicate himself unto the work of the Lord and not be distracted. He said, a man who's married to a wife is distracted with many things. He's got to please her. And every man knows that that's a talk. Lisa's not here, right? At this, she'll be at second service. You can bet it'll be deleted from second service. Listen, I'm going to ask you to write down these verses and we'll be done. Very quickly, very quickly. Get it ready. We've got a lot of verses to give and we'll be done. Here we go. Number one, regarding verse 13, John 15:15 says, no longer, Jesus says, do I call you servants? For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Go tell the people in the world Jesus wants to call them friend. Go tell your Hindu friends that Jesus wants to call them friends. Go tell your Muslim friends Jesus wants to call them friends. Is that not beautiful? I want to call you friends. He says, listen, I call you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. John 15:1-2. I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruits. Labor, work. John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Let me flip it around. If you have me, you can do everything. How? Be abiding in me. If you abide in the vine and you're the branch, I'll see to it, fruit comes out of your life. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25 says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Matthew 7:16. You'll know them by their fruits. Did you know that every Christian is to examine all those who claim to be Christians? Not judge them, examine them. See how fruity their lives are. Colossians 1:4, we're almost done. You're being very patient. Colossians 1:4, because we have heard of your faith, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, and of your love that you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up in you, or for you, excuse me, in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and it is growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth. Ephesians 5:8-10. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is the acceptable will of the Lord. Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, that's a good thing, to be a slave to God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end? Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, what does this mean? That we have an expert witness. The Holy Spirit is shouting, yes! It communicates to us this morning, church, that we have an expert witness to our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, in the hearing of my voice, none of us, including me, can pull the wool over the eyes of the Holy Spirit. He's the expert witness of our lives. He knows it all. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verses 4-8, he makes that announcement there and he says, I will send the Holy Spirit to you and you shall be witnesses of to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. Witnesses. The Holy Spirit knows. And he says, yes, let them rest. Zechariah 4:6 says, so he answered and said unto me, the Lord answered and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And on it goes. You can write them down. I won't quote them right now. We're out of time. Acts 13:1-4. Hebrews 6:10. Romans 8:16. Ephesians 2:10 and Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I want to leave you with that. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit says, I know. Don't worry. You say, Pastor, I delivered a fruit basket to a lady and I saw her the next day and she didn't even say thank you. I'm glad you delivered the fruit basket to the lady. But you know what? You know who's more glad? The Holy Spirit. And you know what? You're going to be blessed for your fruit basket. Don't become weary at well-doing. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Tuesday, you're going to go vote. How many registered voters are you? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Listen. Yeah. Those of you who have written me notes saying, don't say this anymore, I want to say this right now. Please understand this. Listen. I encourage those of you who have written me, Linda and Randy and Mike and Norman and Carol, I want to encourage you, please study American history, will you please? Do you understand what is wrong with America is that according to American history, the beginning of America's downfall was when pastors began to separate politics from religion in America. Now listen to this. In fact, I want to read this from the president. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and his Bible. Now, how does that sit with you? This is by the president. You say, well, I'm not voting for him. I don't like him. Oh, I'm sorry. It was George Washington who said that. Wait. If you think that there should be a separation between church and state, okay, which, by the way, hello, is not in the First Amendment. It's not written. It's not there. It's not in any amendment. And it's not in the Constitution. The president said, the Bible is the cornerstone of our liberty. No, Bush didn't say that. President Thomas Jefferson said that. The president said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from that which comes from the Savior of this world is communicated through his holy book. George Bush didn't say that. My hero, Abraham Lincoln, said that. One president said, my faith sustains me because I pray every day for God's guidance. I pray for guidance and wisdom and strength. And this one thing I know, that it's a great thing to know this about our country, that there are thousands of people who pray for me every day and that I may not ever see them to be able to thank them, but it's a humbling experience to know that people that I'll never meet lift me up and my family in prayer, and for that, I am grateful. President Bush said that this year. Now, wait. In fairness of equal time, because listen, I can mention a candidate, but I have to mention the other candidate legality-wise. And some of you said, you're making up this story about, you know, if you say something, you're violating the law. My friend, listen, just because you don't know about the law doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I cannot. It is illegal. It's a federal offense for me as a pastor to publicly endorse a president. I can't do it publicly. And that is a law, even if you didn't know about it. Believe me, the articles of religious conduct in America make it very clear. You can't do it. So I have to give equal time. I searched for spiritual or God-related quotes by John Kerry. I'm still trying to find some. If you find any that exalt God and that I want them, but I've searched hard for them. That's not my point this morning, honestly. The presidency is an important issue, and you're going to decide that on Tuesday. I'll tell you what's more important than that. You better vote Bible over your conscience and over your political affiliation. You better vote Bible if you're a Christian. Here's the reason why. This next president will appoint new Supreme Court justices that will literally alter the landscape of America. That's the most important thing that I'm concerned about, is these judges that will be appointed. So if you want to get upset with me about endorsing the president or this or that or who to vote for, listen, that's only a side note to my concern. I am so concerned about who is added to the Supreme Court. It's a very serious issue. Please pray. Know your Bible. Read the platforms on our website. We didn't make them up. They're from both parties. And vote Bible. And if this upsets you, I am following in a long line of who once were pastors and statesmen in the United States of America, and there should never be a separation of church and state. And if you read the... And if you read the First Amendment, and if you read the Constitution, I hope you've read it. The law says that government shall never, ever create a law respecting one religion. In other words, making it a state religion. And no way shall the government also pass a law restricting the free expression of worship thereof. You can't sequester worship. You can't sequester God. And that has been stolen, pirated, and changed and spun into the public that now Abraham Lincoln, I have quotes by Lincoln that the ACLU would sue him today. Abraham Lincoln said, "It is obvious that Christianity is the greatest religion in the world, and every nation of the world would do right if they were Christian. All people would benefit." And he says, "Remember always this great Christian nation of ours, Abraham Lincoln." Can you imagine a president saying that today? He'd be arrested probably.
Yeah, that's very likely what would happen. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements. It's taken from Revelation chapter 14. Now, of course, being a study series means that we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more, so be sure and tune in. Have you ever struggled with doubt? Of course, your answer should be yes, because we all have. Well, why do we struggle with doubt? That's the very title of a 2-DVD set by Pastor Jack Hibbs, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Peter, who ended up a great and effective evangelist, struggled with doubt. His colleague Thomas has forever been associated with the Word. Why Do We Struggle with Doubt is a double DVD series taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Pastor Jack gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt. Is doubt normal? Is it a sign of weakness? Or do we come out stronger and wiser? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? The double DVD series is yours for a tax-deductible donation to Real Radio of any amount. When you get in touch, simply ask for it by name. Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Now, there's more than one way to contact us. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just ask for the DVD series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Our address again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. You can also pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air, reaching people for Christ because of your tax-deductible contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.